Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Travis, can you print that Associated Press article? Can you grab that AP article off the wire about the sheriffs all across Montana that are talking about the false, misleading claims in that John Tester campaign ad? Oh, there isn't a story on the AP wire. Oh, okay. Well, can you grab the Billings Gazette story? Can you grab that one off the printer? Oh, there isn't a Billings Gazette story either. Oh, how about KTVQ? Can you go to the Montana Television Network? Can you grab their story? I mean, the news broke like 3 or 4 days ago, so they should have a story by now. You know, if they're the Montana Television, oh, they don't have a story either. Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll just go with what we got then. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different statements from different sheriffs all across Montana in front of me right now, where they are saying that John Tester's campaign ad is misleading at best. False. Did not happen. And yet, look at the liberal Montana media that refuses to cover this story that we told you about yesterday on the show. Yesterday, we told you about the Roosevelt County Sheriff who lives in Poplar, Montana, saying, yeah, we could really use the help. We could really use some money to fund law enforcement around here. Because, man, the drugs are causing chaos here on the Fort Peck Reservation and in Roosevelt County. We told you about the Park County Sheriff saying John Tester has never even reached out to our office. He's never even worked with us. And then now I've got the Toole County Sheriff's Office in Shelby. I've got the Broadwater County Sheriff's Office in Townsend. I've got the Stillwater County Sheriff's Office in Columbus. I've got the Phillips County Sheriff's Office in Malta. I've got the Dawson County Sheriff's Office in Glendive. I had about 6 different listeners send me that one yesterday afternoon. How many sheriffs? Apparently Madison County spoke out as well. I think, let's see, which one did I not mention? Did I tell you about Stillwater? Yeah, I told you about Stillwater. I don't think I got to Sweetgrass County. How many sheriffs does it take before the liberal Montana media will ever do a story on this? Or are they that desperately covering for liberal Senator John Tester? Man, that's crazy. Anyway, I'll tell you about what more of these sheriffs all across Montana are saying. Plus this from State Senator Steve Fitzpatrick. He has got a must-read guest opinion column posted right now at KJJR.com, the radio station in Kalispell, Montana. He is calling Constitutional Initiative 126 an extremist dream come true. Great write-up here by Steve Fitzpatrick. I'll tell you about that and much more. But let's hear from you. Phone lines are open for you because this is the show where Montana gets to talk. 406-294-0970. We've got Nathan in Livingston first up right after the break. And then looks like Ron in Ronan as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, as promised, let's jump right into your phone calls here. We've got Nathan in Livingston first up. Nathan, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going? I'm a registered independent. I'm voting down the line Republican this year. My question is, I'm just trying to look online to find, you know, picks for conservative judges and stuff, and it's kind of chaos trying to figure out who exactly to vote for, because I don't know these names. I was just wondering if there's a website I can go to, or what do you recommend for that?
Wow, you know, good question. It's tough. So you're obviously in Park County. If I'm not mistaken, I'm looking at MontanaVoterGuide.com. It looks like you only have one judge that's on your ballot. Is that correct?
I believe so. I thought there was two because I was going through an absentee ballot with my dad, and we were searching for a good 30 minutes trying to figure out who to vote for.
Yeah. You know what might be kind of fun is if you're in Park County, I would call both the Park County Republicans and the Park County Democrats, or if they have campaign offices there, if the Democrats and the Republicans both have campaign offices, I would drop into both offices and ask each of them, hey, who do you guys recommend for judge here? It would just be interesting to see what they say. I'm only seeing one of the candidates listed at MontanaVoterGuide.com for District Court 6. Let's see, Clyde Park. And it's got the judicial candidate there. Has given about what this thing does is it just shows where the candidates donate their money, whether they give to Republicans or whether they give to Democrats. Looks like this judicial candidate has given a mixture to both parties' candidates, but mostly about 67% to Republicans. Sometimes that is a good lead. It's good information. It may not be the be all end all, but at least gives you an idea of, you know, where these judicial candidates give their money, which could give you an idea about their judicial philosophy. But again, that's MontanaVoterGuide.com. Hey, thanks for calling in. Great question. It's a question we get a lot. One of our listeners sent us a message on our Montana Talks app here, and I saw it. I think it came in earlier this morning, but they said, hey, look, here's the deal. If you've got a judge that you don't think is doing the job, if you vote not to retain the judge, the governor gets to appoint a replacement. So I thought that was good information to share as well. Next up, let's go to Ron in Ronan. Ron, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm interested in passing on some information which I term terrorism at the polls. Basically, what we've seen in the last couple of days in the Seattle, Portland area and so on is some burning of the ballot deposit boxes that is going on. Shades of 2020, the summer of love, if that rings a bell to you. But we've also had a smaller incident going on here in Montana where a couple weeks ago or that we had the cut bank raid on the ballot box by some fellow by the name of Laszlo, who probably got that name from somewhere in Moscow. The other thing is that was also happening in Edina, Minnesota, where they had that problem occur. But the burning of these ballot boxes started in Phoenix a couple weeks ago, and now it's transcended into the blue states of Washington and Oregon, and I'm afraid that this terrorism at the ballot box is not the same as being at the polls, but
it's crazy, isn't it?
Polls.
Yeah, it's crazy. I first saw this on social media, you know, the pictures of these fires that somebody deliberately lighting these ballot drop boxes on fire. First off, why we would have drop boxes, unsecured drop boxes, just sitting out there in the middle of the night anywhere is beyond me. That it is so absurd. These things should be manned 24/7. They should be at official locations. And the fact that these things are just left out there unsecure like this is just outrageous. But, yeah, the Associated Press has a report here. Two ballot drop boxes – this was from yesterday – two ballot drop boxes in the Pacific Northwest were damaged in a suspected arson attack just over a week before Election Day, destroying hundreds of ballots at one location in Vancouver, Washington. And as Ron pointed out, last week, you remember, we were the first to report on that story here in Montana, in Cut Bank, Montana, where the Glacier County elections officer, great job on her part, by the way, She had a video camera monitoring this drop box in Glacier County, and she said, hey, I'm very concerned off what I've seen here. And she recognized the Democrat operative, and the Democrat operative was caught on camera tampering with this ballot drop box. Now, he claimed that he was just testing it to make sure it was secure, that that's what his handlers at the Democrat Party told him to do. But after this video went public, he got fired by the Democrat Senatorial Committee. And so if what he was doing wasn't that big of a deal, then why did they fire him? Anyway, that's partly why the National Republican Senatorial Committee is now calling for a U.S. Department of Justice federal investigation into that ballot drop box tampering incident in Cut Bank, Montana. Hey, thanks for the call, Ron. Great to hear from you. Next up after the break, we've got Catherine in Bozeman on the phone lines. And we've got phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970. I want to tell you what Senator Fitzpatrick had to say about CI-126, plus what more and more sheriffs across the state are saying about these false campaign ads. That and more right after this. Justin.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flynn.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines, and then I'm going to keep these messages in my hand. We have got so many great messages that came in on our Montana Talks app. I'm going to keep these in my hand so I don't get distracted and I don't get to them. Plus, we're getting to your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Catherine in Bozeman, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to sort of have a rant statement. I am very tired of our daily newspaper, which is actually not daily. They have nothing but liberal negativity towards other candidates. I listened to Trump at his Madison Square Garden, did not feel that he was racist or insulting. I've been following both Tester and Sheehy, and they do nothing but knock down Sheehy, who I think is a great candidate. And then last but not least, I'd like to say that kudos to Sheriff Bitchler out of Park County for standing up and making statements in regards to the negative and improper news reporting.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it great to see these sheriffs standing up? Remember, it was the sheriffs who stood up to the COVID-19 insanity. Remember when all those lockdowns were being forced on Montanans and they were trying to shut down Montana businesses, shut down churches? They let Planned Parenthood stay open, though, of course, and they let the big box stores stay open. It was sheriffs who stood up. That was my most viewed article on our Montana Talks website that year, was when I shared this message from 30-plus Montana sheriffs who said, don't call us. Don't tie up our 911 call centers. They said, we will not respond. You know, people were calling in. There's people not wearing their masks. There's a business open. And these sheriffs stood up to the insanity then, and they're standing up to these fake campaign ads now to get the message out. Hey, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. Yeah, that was Catherine in Bozeman. Catherine, thanks for the call. I will say this, though. I've heard very good things about the new publisher of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, and he says that he is committed to turning that paper around, to making it more of a news product, to make it a fair and balanced news product. But here's the challenge. Look at the news business. Look at the journalism industry. Who do you have to fill your papers? Who do you have to fill your news with? The Associated Press, most broadcasters already canceled their subscription to the AP because, they just don't provide any news anymore, and then it's biased when you do see it. And then, you know, most of these journalism schools are just churning out left-wing environmental justice activists. And then you've got these these fake liberal news sources that are being funded by these liberal mega donors at like the Daily Montanan, and those get copy and pasted into some of these newspapers. And so it's like you've got to put something in your newspaper. And so what do they fill it with? I mean, trash in is trash out. All they've got is trash to put in it. And then so that's all, why you see trash come out of it, right? But until they get good reporters that actually want to be reporters and do the news, it's like, how do you fill your paper in the meantime, right? Yeah, it's a tough one. But there are some news services out there that I think I'm seeing good things from, like Center Square. Seems like they're a little more center on their reporting, you name it. But appreciate the phone call. Okay, let's see. Real quickly here from State Senator Steve Fitzpatrick. You can read his full guest opinion column at KJJR.com. Great radio station in the Flathead Valley. He says CI-126, Constitutional Initiative 126, is an extremist dream come true. He says, if you're like me, you were probably taught that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. This principle certainly applies to CI-126. Supporters of CI-126 are claiming it will make politics in Montana better. The opposite is true. CI-126 will make our politics worse and more extreme. In fact, he points out that if you were to go back go back to 2018, go back 6 years ago, if CI-126 had been in place in 2018, this is where they would create like this jungle primary and the top four would go on to the general election. It effectively does away with parties having a party primary. It effectively does away with that type of a primary election. He says plurality voting systems like CI-126 do not result in more moderation or more representative government. It allows candidates with extreme views and limited bases of support to compete and win elections. And so he points out that if CI-126 had been in place back in 2018, the top four candidates in the Montana House District 21 race could have included a former KKK organizer. He concludes by saying, we do not need to make our politics more unrepresentative and more extreme. CI-126 is not a solution to the problems in our political system. It is a recipe for disaster. Protect our democracy by voting against CI-126. That is Montana Senate Majority Leader Steve Fitzpatrick out of Great Falls. Again, that full guest opinion column at KJJR.com. All right, now let's open up the mailbag here. Let's open up the mailbox. Terry and Kalispell. Terry opened up the mailbox. Terry says this. Good morning. When I got home from work last night, my door was stuffed with Democrat flyers. I voted a week ago. I thought this would stop after I voted. I really enjoyed this program. Thank you for all you do, Aaron. Thank you, Terry. So Terry raises a good question here. Why am I still getting flyers in my mailbox if I already voted? So the smart campaigns that are smartly managing their campaign money, they will go to the election offices and get an updated list of who has voted and who has not voted. And these smart campaigns will stop wasting their money mailing campaign flyers to people who already voted. Terry, I noticed the same thing because I voted over a week ago already. Why did I get all these Democrat flyers? I had Max Crows. He's the soccer kid from Helena who got to go to Qatar for the World Cup. And he's still sending out mailers for the Democrat Party. Max Crows is wasting your money. If you are a Montana Democrat Party, you can be like, wow, thanks for wasting our money, Max, because you're sending flyers, very expensive flyers, out to a bunch of people that already voted. And then Nancy Keenan sent out another flyer that I received. It's like, wow, good job, Nancy. You are wasting your supporters' money. It's as if the Montana Democrat Party has so much money flooding into this state from out of state that they can just waste it left and right because they have so much money from out of state operatives that is flooding into Montana right now. Jesse in Kalispell says this. We had a caller from Livingston ask about the judicial races and the candidates for judge. Jesse says, for Flathead Valley listeners, vote no on retaining Amy Eddy. She is completely against fundamental rights of parents and has no problem legislating from the bench against the Constitution. Jesse, I've heard the same thing from Ron and Big Fork, that she is very soft on crime. Tough on you, but soft on crime. I've heard that same thing about Judge Amy Eddy there in the Flathead. Okay, now let's get to the messages that started flooding in from our listeners as these county sheriffs all across Montana started weighing in. For those of you that missed it, yesterday we told you how the Roosevelt County Sheriff in Poplar and the Park County Sheriff both came out over the weekend with statements basically saying that John Tester is lying in his campaign ads where he claims that he provided funding for your county's law enforcement. Well, now several other sheriffs have weighed in. The Dawson County Sheriff's Office says, apparently Tester's office is claiming that this was the PILT money, the payment in lieu of taxes program. The Dawson County Sheriff says this money would have come to the county regardless of who the senator at the time was. The Stillwater County Sheriff tells us that the vehicle that Tester's campaign used the photo of was sold 12 years ago. And then the sheriff of Stillwater County said, quote, while the statement claiming that the senator recently secured funding for Stillwater County first responders may be true for other agencies in the county, our office specifically has not received any special federal funds or grants since 2011. The Broadwater County Sheriff says it is unacceptable to me for the Broadwater County Sheriff's Office to be used as a political puppet. And basically says, John Tester has never reached out to the sheriff's office or myself. The Toole County Sheriff's Office in Shelby says that the campaign ad from John Tester is misleading and was submitted without their knowledge. We have not received money from a specific political candidate, and I believe this ad to be misleading for stating such. John Tester has not reached out to our office or personally provided monetary support for our office. And then the Phillips County Sheriff's Office, the sheriff there saying the language and presentation in this advertisement are misleading and do not reflect the values or stance of our office. Wow. How many sheriffs have to speak out before the fake news liberal Montana media actually does a news story on the news?
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA has released its cattle on feed report, and on feed numbers were down slightly. September placements into feedlots were down 2% from last year at 2.16 million head, while marketings of cattle rose by 2% to 1.7 million head, leaving total cattle on feed numbers at 11.6 million head. Of that inventory, 7 million were steer and steer calves, up 1% from last year, while heifer and heifer calves accounted for 4.6 million head, down 1% from 2023. Sharing more about that lower on-feed number is USDA economist Michael McConnell.
Which might be an indication perhaps that more heifers being retained by producers for breeding. But at the same time, it's not necessarily showing any real strong signs of a trend of major heifer retention.
And with drier conditions hitting the middle and southern parts of the nation during this La Nina event and more moisture anticipated for states like Montana and other northern tier states, the size of the U.S. cattle herd is expected to remain historically low. Speaking of cattle, certified Angus beef closed its 2024 fiscal year with one of its strongest sales in years. The global beef brand sold 1.237 billion pounds across the U.S. and more than 50 countries in the fiscal year. I'm Lane Northlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so I got three more messages to share, and then we'll jump right back into the phone lines. Brad Molnar in Laurel, you will be first up here in the second half. Kate in Poplar just sent this a few minutes ago. Now, I want to let you know, Kate in Poplar sent us this message before I read all of those statements from all of those sheriffs, just a portion of those statements, of course. Here's what Kate in Poplar said. Things are dire here in Roosevelt County due to drugs and crime. I know we aren't unique. This same chaos is spreading across our nation. It's a heart and moral issue at the root of things. People are hurting and searching for something to numb pain and fill voids. We need to return to Christ as a nation. But while we work on that, we need to shut the border down. It's ridiculous to think that the rampant increase in drugs the last 4 years is not related to that. Thank you to these local sheriffs for speaking up. They need real help to end this nonsense and protect citizens, not just election year lip service. Kate and Poplar, what a message. Thank you so much for sharing. I started getting messages yesterday afternoon in particular as more and more of these sheriffs started putting out statements. In fact, Karen in Ballantyne sent me, she was just one of several people who sent me the statement from the Dawson County Sheriff in Glendive. Karen in Ballantyne says, "We can't wait for the election to be over. Lying tester is gone along with commie Kamala, and Donald J. Trump is our president again. Keep up the good work. We are listening in eastern Montana." Karen, I might have used your last name. I was thinking you were in the town of Ballantyne, so I apologize if I gave your last name over the air there. But either way, thanks for listening. Let's see. This one, I think, came in from Glendive listener here. This came in, is it from KC? KC, I think, sent us this one. Last night, "Good evening, Mr. Flint. My husband and I listen to your show almost every day and certainly appreciate what you do. We met Tim Sheehy when he came to Glendive last week and certainly voted for him. I want to share with you a recent post on social media by our local sheriff, Ross Kanan. You can find it yourself on the Dawson Sheriff Facebook page." And again, thanks to so many of our listeners for sending that those statements from those sheriffs to me. I know there's many more out there that I probably haven't even seen yet. In fact, it was kind of funny because Tim and Savage, he had sent me the message from the Dawson County Sheriff yesterday afternoon. And I said, "Oh, thanks." I said, "Yeah, about four other people already sent it to me." And he's like, "Man, your job's easy. People just give you information." I was like, you know, anymore, it's like, it's our listeners, we just get the best listeners out there. That's for sure. That's where we get our best information from. It certainly ain't because of little old me. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to State Senator Brad Molnar. He's a candidate for Public Service Commission seat number 2. Brad, good to hear from you.
Thanks for putting me on, Aaron. This is a very important matter. Of fact, I'm sending you a press release in about an hour when people are done legal checking it for me. And this affects all races, but specifically as we speak, the any of the counties that border Idaho, the commissioner from there is Jennifer Fielder. Her opponent is independent Elena Evans. A dark money group called Montana Ratepayers Association, in two donations, has amassed $495,000 to put against Fielder. They've already spent $200,000. So they have $300,000 left over to beat her up for the last week, or I'll take $150,000 and put it in my race, $150,000 and put it into the race exactly west of me. That is all dark environmental money, near as we can tell. There is no principal listed. They have a P.O. box, and they have a bank account and treasurers. That's all. But to raise $500,000 for one race tells every commissioner that, that is sitting or that would be elected, you don't vote the green line, we will take you out of office. It tells everybody thinking of running, okay, yeah, you can raise $25,000, $450 at a time. We're unlimited. We'll put $500,000 against you. The chilling effect on democracy in this one action is so huge and would have such a huge impact on the state. You need to ask yourself, why did they put it on the PSC and not in the other races? Because the PSC is a cash cow for these people, and ratepayers are the ones that be pulling the tips.
Well, and they want to force, you know, this Green New Deal decision-making into every decision of the PSC. That's what they're already driving at. I thought it was interesting, and Senator Molnar, great to hear from you. For those who missed it, Brad Molnar and his opponent, the Democrat in the race, both joined me, and we had a great conversation, all three of us. You can call it a debate, you can call it a forum, whatever you want to call it. But there's a very clear contrast in that race where you've got Brad Molnar, who will support the traditional energies, the reliable energy. And then his opponent very clearly wants this Green New Deal style decision making process that, if you ask me, will deliberately drive up your rates even higher and make electricity less reliable than it's already becoming all across the country. But, you know, you talk about the out-of-state money. I mean, look, we see this not only in these Public Service Commission seats that Brad just talked about there. We see it in these ballot initiatives. Radical environmentalists like Hans-Jörg Wies, out-of-state money flooding into Montana. And it's in the PSC races. It's in these initiatives. Dennison Bozeman messaged us earlier, and he said, what can we do to keep the out-of-state money out of our elections? Well, the easiest thing we can do, make them suffer a big loss. If CI 126 and 127 suffer a defeat, if you vote against those, you will tell these out-of-state donors, hey, your money ain't going to work here. If you stand up to the radical environmentalists in these Public Service Commission races, you will tell these out-of-state interests your money is not good here. That's the best thing we can do to combat out-of-state money in these elections. Now, I do think, though, what about the foreign money? You've got foreigners that aren't even American citizens spending money on these ballot initiatives. I think we need to get laws on the books to prevent that from happening. They can't donate to political campaigns for Congress or Senate, et cetera. Why are they able to donate to ballot initiative campaigns? That doesn't make any sense. Warren in Great Falls next up. Warren, what's on your mind?
Hey, I was at the Sea event this past Sunday with Admiral Jackson.
Yeah.
And Sheriff Slaughter was the keynote speaker there, like the MC.
He's the man.
Yeah, he's awesome. He brought up something really interesting. You're talking about the funding for the sheriffs and stuff like that, but he ran into problems here in Cascade County to where these liberal groups basically put in regulations that regulated how he detained illegal aliens here in Montana. And like they had restrictions on, like, you had to require people to keep track of the milliliters of hand sanitizer used. He said he would have hired five extra deputies at the detention center just to follow these regulations. And if you don't follow them, you get sued.
Oh, the ACLU has been suing jails all across the state and driving up costs. And by the way, that drives up your property taxes too when they force these types of things to pay for these types of things. But yeah, these left-wing groups, I mean, it's crazy what these sheriffs have to deal with. I heard he had a powerful speech there. I wish I could have been there because, Ronnie Jackson, great turnout at rallies in Great Falls and in Helena for Tim Sheehy on Sunday.
Yeah, it was awesome. But, you know, my whole point is for John Tester to come out and say he's funding our sheriffs and stuff like that, it's a joke because he can say it. It basically flip-flop. I mean, he does this all the time. He says one thing but does the exact opposite.
Well, and he tries to take credit for other people's work, too. I mean, here he is claiming that he delivered funding for law enforcement, and they're like, no, you didn't, and we never got that. It reminds me, I heard from Bob in Anaconda, and he was talking about how, you know, John Tester is claiming that he saved the Job Corps in Anaconda. And I was talking with Bob, you know, my friend Rod Frost, a great guy from Sunburst, Montana, and his son Dustin and I have been friends since college. And, you know, Rod used to run that Job Corps. And Bob and Anaconda will tell you, it was Steve Daines who personally contacted Donald J. Trump to save the Job Corps in Anaconda. But here's John Tester. I saved the Job Corps in Anaconda. Oh, for Pete's sake. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Anyways, thank you for your time, and thank you, Montana. Stay great. Vote GE. Let's keep rocking this. We're doing a great job as a state. Thank you very much.
All right. Great to hear from you, Warren. Thanks for calling in. By the way, I've got an audio clip of Ronnie Jackson, the Admiral, Texas Congressman. I've got a clip from his speech in Great Falls. I'll play that next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I do have one quick soundbite. This is Ronnie Jackson. Remember, Ronnie Jackson is the Navy Admiral, the former White House doctor who John Tester falsely attacked on CNN and never apologized for this. And, of course, Admiral Ronnie Jackson is also a fellow Iraq War veteran, so here you go again. Another veteran that was falsely attacked by John Tester. Well, let me just play the clip and then I'll share a couple of more messages that we got here. Here is Ronnie Jackson in Great Falls on Sunday.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about who the man John Tester is, right? Because I understand better than most who he is. John Tester has wrecked this country, the economy. Inflation's through the roof. We got crime in the streets, violent crime. A lot of it coming across the border from hardened criminals that don't belong here, that are taking this country over, right? And that's John Tester has been an intimate part of every single bit of that. He is the epitome of the swamp. He's the biggest swamp creature I've ever seen. We have to take the Senate back. It has to go through Tim Sheehy. We have to elect the Senate.
All right, there you go. I like how in that clip, Ronnie Jackson could have made it about himself, but he made it about you and the challenges you're facing. Ronnie Jackson, if you were at the Trump rally in Bozeman back in August, he called John Tester the swamp hippopotamus and was highlighting the fact that John Tester is the number one recipient of lobbyist cash. Let's see, a couple of messages, and then we'll jump right back into your phone calls, 406-294-0970. If you want to call in, I might be able to sneak you on before we run out of time, 294-0970. Kenzie in Helena says, it's sad to see how God has been stripped from our schools and some people their morals. This country needs God back in our decisions. The way we are going is destroying the American dream. I'm stuck paying $2,000 for a two-bedroom apartment, paycheck to paycheck. That's from Kenzie in Helena. Callie in Billings says, for those of you wondering about judges and judicial races, let me see here. The Facebook page, Montanans for Limited Government, has a post about who to vote for judges, etc. So anyway, Callie in Billings shared that. I haven't seen the full list myself. Actually, they're neutral on Amy Eddy. They need to update that one and change that one to do not retain, if you ask me. But anyway, that's one source out there. So, Callie, thanks for that. Shar says, campaign flyers are a real environmental concern. This glossy garbage does not burn well in wood stoves and fills up the landfills. I would like to see legislation to require these materials be recyclable. At the very least, a newspaper makes good liner for bird cages and paint spills. That's from Shar. Let's go to Eric Albus. a candidate for House District 28, if I remember right, on the phone lines right now from Hinsdale. Eric, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Great to be here. Thanks for your program. And I want to hit briefly on a couple of things that the drug problem up here on the High Line is, and it isn't just the High Line, it's all of Montana. The open border policy of Biden and Harris has destroyed our nation, and it was not by accident that any of this stuff has happened. It's not by accident that inflation is high. And the drug traffic and the human sex traffic up here between our reservations is absolutely off the chart and appalling. And I've been talking with E.G. Knutson about it. And when you vote Elvis and send me to Helena, I'm going to be there fighting so we can get rid of this problem. I have friends who have had children die from fentanyl, and it's totally unacceptable that could go on in this day and age, and we have an open border that's allowing it to just pour through. Knutson told me that our fentanyl capture is up like 11,000% from 2-3 years ago. And once again, it can't be an accident that it's happening. The open border policy has allowed it to happen, and this administration knew it was going to happen.
Well, and speaking of Attorney General Austin Knutson, he's like the one man standing in the way of their open borders invasion. So, of course, what is the Montana Supreme Court trying to do? They're using their partisans that they installed at this Office of Disciplinary Counsel to try to get him removed from office, to interfere in his election right now. So the one man who's standing up for our reservations, well, one of the, you know, Donald Trump and Governor Gianforte, the Republican legislature increased fentanyl penalties, stiff penalties on fentanyl dealers, right? But here's the one of the biggest obstacles in their open borders agenda is Attorney General Austin Knutson. So, of course, the left-wing Montana Supreme Court is trying to interfere in his election and trying to get him removed from office.
Of course they are. And you look at the number of illegals that we have here in this state that most people are oblivious of. The last estimates I heard was somewhere between 10 and 20,000, with fear that it could be much higher than that. And a retired Border Patrol agent in Helena told me that he heard four or five guys speaking Spanish fluently, and he's fluent in the language because he used to be down on the Arizona border. He got to talking with them. These people are living in Helena, Montana, not paying rent, and they each get $600 put on their debit card every month, and they have no intentions of going to work. They were bused in on a Suburban in the middle of the night, and they're living in Helena doing nothing other than whoever's supplying their... And when they have no idea who's paying their rent or filling their debit card every month.
But,
and they have
no
intention of going to work.
I believe it. I mean, we've seen the jail rosters in Gallatin County. We know that there's illegals here because they're showing up in our jails. Eric Albus, thanks for the call, and great to hear from you. Hey, next time you call in, next time you're in Glasgow, ask people in Glasgow what they could have done with the Keystone Pipeline money if they would have gotten the Keystone Pipeline.
Corey.